Okay, let's pray. Papa, thank you. As we look into the Word, I pray that you really encourage hearts this morning. Lord, I thank you for this message, and I thank you that you will take it and you'll speak to individual hearts here and what you want them to hear. So thank you, Lord, for joy. Thank you for liberty in this place. Thank you for the journey that you're taking us on. And Lord, thank you for that word that even came through this morning regarding what you have for us as a body of believers. And Lord, we want to lay hold of that and run with it. So thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, we've been doing a series on moving in the gifts, but looking more at some of the background behind it. Have you ever seen a movie and then seen the part at the end where they do the behind-the-scenes bit? Lynn hasn't. Okay. Is she your wife? Well, behind the scenes, they take you back and they let you see the bigger picture. They let you see what's happening, as well as the people acting on the stage, what's happening around them. And many times I think we need to take a step backwards and have a look at the bigger picture. Because I think many of us have been to prophetic conferences, we've been to moving in the gifts seminars, and yet invariably we end up coming back and just sitting in our seat and doing and saying nothing. Can I at least see some nods this morning? Yeah. Well, I believe God wants us to do more than that. So we're going to be looking at some things this morning and picking up on what we talked about last week. Who found it helpful when I did the demo of giving a prophetic word? Okay. What trips us up many times is not the fact that we struggle to hear God, but the fact that we also hear other voices as well. And it's that second voice many times that stops us from moving out into what God has for us. And that second voice often is our own soul. Sometimes it can be the demonic realm. But I think most times it's actually our own soul that speaks to us after we get something from God. Okay, let's try it right now. I want you to get a prophetic word for somebody here. Just a nice, kind thought. Put your hand up as soon as you've got something. Okay, I'm starting to see hands being raised. Who thinks they might have something, but they're not sure? Yeah, I can see a few more hands, tentative little hands. Has anybody got something, but they also recognize that there is another voice that they're hearing as well? I'm seeing some nods, yeah. Okay, so who is hearing a second voice? Like you might get something, let's say I've got something for Paul, something encouraging. But then there's a second voice that comes as well. Oh, you can't say that, that's dumb. Okay, you heard a second voice. What did you hear?
It's too simple.
Okay, anybody else recognize the second voice?
Yeah, you don't really know that person.
Good. Anybody else?
Are you sure it's for her?
Are people starting to recognise and going, yeah, I heard the exact same sort of thing? You get something from God and then you hear another voice. In the parable of the sower, when does the devil come? Does it say the sower goes out and he scatters the seed and then a week later the devil comes to get the seed? When's it say he comes? Straight away or immediately? When we have something that is a revelation for us, or it's something that is for us to give away to somebody else, we've just been given seed. And the thief comes immediately to take the seed. Why? Because he doesn't want it sown. If you've got something encouraging for somebody else, the devil doesn't want you to sow that seed into their heart. He doesn't want them encouraged or built up or made strong. So he'll come with little thoughts like, well, who do you think you are? Well, remember what you did this week. You can't give a word. Well, what came out? You don't know them. Oh, that won't be for them. But sometimes it's just our own soul that talks as well and says, I don't want to be silly. I don't want to be up the front. I don't want to say something. If I put my hand up, Pam's going to hold that horrible microphone and everyone's going to hear. Do you know that David spoke to his soul? Psalm 43, verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? That word disquieted actually means rowdy. Why are you making so much din on the inside, soul? See, nobody else hears what's happening in your soul realm, but you will. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. God is the help of our countenance. Our countenance will reveal what's happening in our heart. You can look at somebody's face and you can see that concern, that worry, that fear, that anxiety, that insecurity. God wants to help us deal with the soul realm. See, let me put it this way. What if I was at home and I ended up putting my hand on a hot stove? What's going to happen? Diane says I'm going to scream. Yeah, it is a hot stove. You missed that part. I am going to feel some pain, right? Now, what is the pain telling me to do? Move my hand. Now, what if I decided to keep my hand there and start taking painkillers? You'd just say, that's real dumb. Our body sends us messages. Pain in our body says, do something about what is happening to my body. But many of us, when it comes to pain in our soul, we just ignore it. Go and eat a bowl of ice cream. Flick on the TV. Our soul starts to scream. And instead of asking it, why are you disquieted? What's happening to my soul? What am I struggling with? We try to ignore it, or worse yet, if we've been around some religious teaching, we will say things, oh well, we do not live that way. We live by faith, not by feelings. That's a misquote. Don't know if any of you have lived under that. I've seen a few hands go up. I lived under that for years, trying to tell my soul to be quiet, to go away, that it didn't matter. We need to learn to listen to our soul and we need to learn to deal with it. Now, some things that we're dealing with in the realm of our soul, we need to minister to. Other things we need to push through. And we need to know the difference. See, here's Jesus talking about his soul. John 12:27. Now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Jesus did not say, I live by faith, not by feelings. No, he said, my soul is troubled. What's going on the inside is I'm starting to scream because I don't like where I'm going. Now, sometimes there are times when we have to push through and say, my purpose in God requires that I have to push through what my soul says, which is sit down, play safe, let's just not rock any boats around here. Okay? And some of you are going to have to recognize that difference with your soul, because especially if you're a personality that would like to just stay unnoticed, not create waves, and God says, I want you to prophesy. You're going, oh, no, not me. Choose him. That's what Moses did. That's what so many people in the Bible did. If you read their stories, they go, oh, no, God, not me. Just choose somebody else. He can talk. I can't. Of course Moses could talk. He just didn't want to. We need to recognize how to push past what is happening in our soul at times. See, when I asked the Lord about this message this morning, because I was going to go on a slightly different track, but I asked the Lord about what he wanted for this message. And I felt him say, my people are afraid to fail. So we're going to look at that this morning. We're going to look at some people in the Bible who had words from God and didn't get it right. Because I believe God wants to free us that it's okay to fail. If we're going to grow in the prophetic, guess what? We're going to make mistakes in the prophetic. You're not going to get it right all the time. Does that matter? No. You've gone very quiet with me on that.
I wish I'd jumped up, because it would really have encouraged my wife if I'd done it 10 minutes ago when I got it. But I have a history of interrupting her, so I didn't want to do that. But I was sitting there and the Lord spoke to me and he said, tell my people they need to give themselves permission to fail. And I thought that was really interesting.
Great. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, to actually have a look at what these people did and where they actually missed it, we're going to need to just briefly have a look at the different aspects of a prophetic word. So number one is the message or revelation. That's what God gives you. That's the kernel of it. Then number two is the interpretation. Well, what does that mean? Okay, if you were here last week, the demo that I had when I prophesied over Kevin, first thing I saw was a wheelbarrow. Okay, as an explained then, I wasn't going to say, I see a wheelbarrow, have a great day, hope you're blessed. I had to take it further and say, okay, I see a wheelbarrow. Why a wheelbarrow? What does that mean? And you've got to keep on going back to the Lord. And he leads us bit by bit, line by line, precept upon precept. I very seldom get a complete prophetic word when I give one. I get a little bit, and then I have to ask the Lord and keep walking with him through the whole process. So the first aspect is finding out what the message or the revelation is. The second aspect is the interpretation. Then the third aspect is the application. So what? What do we do now? So let's have a look at what these people said, what they interpreted that to mean, and how they applied it. And we're not going to be able to do that with every aspect, but we will with some of them. So the first one we're going to look at is Moses. Exodus 14, starting with verse 13. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall behold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." Now, what had Moses told the children of Israel to do? Stand still. What did God say? Go forward. Now, the rest of what Moses had was correct. That was going to be the last day they were going to see the Egyptians. But when Moses said, stand still, God said to him, go forward. He missed that bit. Now, to understand why, think for a moment about where Moses and the children of Israel were at this point in time. Can anyone tell me that? John says toe in the water. What were they facing? They had the Red Sea in front of them. They had the Egyptian army behind them. Moses says, stand still. Can you understand why? His natural mind went with what his eyes could see. He was not going to declare, walk forward. There was a sea in front of them. And many times we miss what God is wanting to say in the fullness of it because we are looking with our natural eyes at the situation. And we're not seeing the impossible. God says, walk forward. So sometimes we miss it, or we kind of just put a little bit in there that's according to our understanding and our ability to see into the situation, and we're missing the supernatural element that God wants to bring out. Make sense? Okay, so he missed it when it came to the message. Let's have a look at the next one. This is Acts 27. Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised him, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with a disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives." Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament on board ship. He stands up. What's his message? Going down, ship, cargo, and people. People are going to die on board the ship. A few verses later, verse 21. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." A couple of verses later, he says, "Oh, nobody's going to die." Now, did Paul get it wrong or what? What happened? Could be right. Diane says they were fasting. I presume they were praying as well. Sometimes the message changes because people have been praying. That does happen. And sometimes the message changes even with time. And sometimes we make mistakes with prophetic words purely because of the time that we release them. I remember one prophetic guy in a school that we went to. He talked about visiting this church and causing a problem in this church because he got up and he prophesied over the couple who were pastoring the church, and the woman was pregnant. And he had a prophetic word for the church about what was going to happen in the church when the male child was born. Guessed it, she gave birth and it was a girl. And a lot in the church were like, "Oh, that prophet." Now, this was a prophet. This wasn't just somebody prophesying. This was a prophet. And people were saying, "Well, he missed God and that wasn't right." And a lot of people got upset and everything like that. Years later, after they'd had, I think, about three or four girls, they finally had their little boy. And everything that that prophet said actually occurred at that time. So sometimes timing changes things. But I actually think Paul missed it here. The reason why I say that is because if you look back up in verse 9, it talks about sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over. The fast was the time on the calendar. Sometimes we miss what God wants to say, or we adjust what God wants to say because our natural knowledge kicks in. And we're not fully accurate. He knew that they were going to be sailing when the roughest weather was happening because of the time of year. So he easily added, not only are we going to lose the ship, I mean, if you have a shipwreck and you lose the cargo, you usually lose some people as well. Okay? But just a little encouragement for you. This is the Apostle Paul. And he had to come back and say, well, actually, we're not going to lose anybody. I know I said we were, but we're not. See, I hope this is encouraging for you this morning, because you might not get it right either. And that's okay. Go for it. Let's have a look at one last example, and then we're going to have some fun. Acts 21, verse 10. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet. Now, in this situation, we see a prophetic word that's not being spoken, but it's being acted. So you can draw a prophetic word. You can act it, you can dance it. You can play it on an instrument. You can sing it. You can deliver what God is saying in different ways. And we see this guy called Agabus, And he comes and he takes Paul's belt, and some translations have Agabus's hands and feet, and other ones make it clear that it was actually Paul's hands and feet. But what is the central message that Agabus has? What does it say? Yes, that Paul is going to be bound. That's the message. In this passage of Scripture, you will see the next part, which is the interpretation. So I'm going to add the rest of the verse, and then we'll read from verse 11. When he had came to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." Okay, interpretation. Then we see application. Now, when we heard these things, both we and those at that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. And you see the three aspects of prophecy there. The message. There are bonds and chains awaiting. Interpretation. The interpretation, who is going to bind Paul? The Jews are going to bind Paul. The application? Yeah, don't go. Can you see the three aspects? There's chains. The Jews are going to do it. Don't go. Okay. Acts 21, verse 30. And all the city was disturbed, and the people ran together, seized Paul, and dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the doors were shut. Now, as they were seeking to kill him, news came to the commander of the garrison that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. He immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down to them. And when they saw the commander and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Then the commander came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains. Who was the commander? A Roman, a Gentile. Who bound Paul? The Gentiles, not the Jews. Agabus made a mistake. He said that the Jews would bind Paul. The Jews did not bind Paul, the Gentiles did. I hope you're feeling a little bit better about giving the prophetic word and wondering if it was totally spot on. Chances are it might not have been spot on. But we have people in the Bible who weren't totally spot on either. Now, why did Agabus miss it? Any thoughts? Why did he think the Jews were going to bind Paul? Who was giving Paul a hard time? The Jews. Knowledge of past issues affected the prophetic word. And that's one of the reasons why it's actually hard to have a clear, accurate prophetic word over people you know. You know their stuff. And when you know their stuff, it's very easy for that to affect, if not the actual kernel of the word, the message itself, it's very easy for it to affect the interpretation. That making sense for you? That's why you may think it's actually harder to prophesy over somebody you've never seen before, but it's not, it's actually easier. Because your mind's not going to talk. See, many times if you start to go and give a prophetic word over somebody, remember talking about our soul will talk to. You can start giving a prophetic word over somebody and your soul will try and help out. Oh, yeah, that means such and such. Yeah, don't forget they've got a son dealing with that. Yeah, that must mean that. Your soul will try and be very helpful for you. But sometimes you've got to just be quiet. Making sense? Now let's look at the final aspect, okay? So we had the message, there'll be chains. Had the interpretation, the Jews are going to bind you. Missed that one. The application was, don't go. Acts 23:11. But the following night the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also be a witness at Rome. When Paul was bound, where was he taken? Rome. But the people said, don't go. The reason that we've had this prophetic word is because God's saying, run the other way. They missed it in the application of the word. And sometimes we can do that too. Why? Why do they miss it? Fear? Yeah, I think I heard somebody say fear. They liked Paul. Their emotions got in the road. Yeah, logical thinking, their emotions. It's like, Paul, we don't want that to happen to you. We don't want you to go to Rome. God's telling you, run the other way. That's what the prophetic word is about. See, it's not only being able to give a prophetic word or receive a prophetic word, it's being able to accurately apply it. That's why it says that prophetic words are to be judged. Notice that the word is to be judged, not the person who gave it. Big difference. Many people think that judging a prophetic word is deciding whether the person was on or off. Oh no, you know, that person wouldn't have prophesied accurately. I know their background, know all about them. Nah, that wouldn't be God. No, you judge the word. In other words, what's the application of this? And sometimes it takes more than one person to accurately assess what the application is. And my encouragement for many of you will be, go back and have a look at some of your prophetic words, because if you looked at the application, or is it just some nice words that you've put in a folder? Just not on that one. First Corinthians 13:9 says this, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. Part God, part us. And it's the part us bit that we struggle with. We want it to be all God because we don't want to fail God. But in our concern that we are going to fail him, we end up doing so because we remain silent. So I shared a couple of Sundays ago, I have missed God more times through being silent than I have through saying the wrong thing. And I'm sure you are exactly the same. I'm sure many of you have gone home from a meeting and gone, oh yeah, I had this. And your soul's telling you, oh, that's just for me. But really you know in the depth of your heart that God gave you something and you were too chicken to share it. You can just nod if you don't want to put your hand up on that one. Just nod. Because we've all been there. We end up failing to give what God gives us. Number one is because of the soul realm. Number two is because we don't want to miss God. Well, if Jesus is out on the water, the way to miss God is to stay in the boat. He invites us to get out on the water with him. So how do we do that? How do we become more prophetic in of, yeah, practice? And practice means being willing to get it wrong. Who's played baseball? Most of you, come on, some of you a long time ago played baseball. I used to hate baseball. Oh, Diane used to love it. I used to hate it. I used to play rookie every time we had phys ed. But you will never get a run unless you swing the bat. And as believers, we need to learn to swing the bat. If you don't connect with the ball, that's okay. Next time you probably will. But give it a go. Most of us want the risk factor to be taken out. If the risk factor was removed, it would not be by faith. So Papa is not going to remove the risk factor. Let's put it this way. If God was that concerned about us getting it wrong, he would be louder and he would be clearer. Not on that one. If you're talking to a deaf person, whose responsibility is it to make sure that person hears? The deaf person or the one speaking? No point saying to a deaf person, listen harder. If you're speaking with a deaf person, it's your responsibility as a speaker to speak up. Correct? Some of you feel like you are deaf spiritually. And you're wrapping yourself over the knuckles trying to say, listen harder, listen harder, listen harder. God says, it's my responsibility, I'll speak up. Relax. You hear God. It's just you also hear a second voice. And some of us haven't learned how to deal with a second voice. But we're going to have some fun doing some stuff now. Oh, I don't think I've finished. Actually, let's finish. To increase in the prophetic, we need to, number one, deal with our own inner world. Some battles only we can fight. When God says be strong and courageous, we're the ones that have to be that. Other people can encourage us, but if there's things happening on the inside in our soul realm, we have to know the things that we need to deal with and the things we need to push through. But the second aspect is creating a culture that celebrates progress, not perfection. And for too long, the body of Christ has feared failure. And if we have only wanted to deal with perfection, let's learn to celebrate progress. And we're going to talk about that more next week.